Time now for Extension Today on WIFM. Extension Today presented by Surrey, Wilkes, and Yadkin County Farm Bureau. North Carolina Farm Bureau has been actively promoting farm and rural issues since 1936. Now, Extension Today with Danny Hall.
Welcome to Extension Today on WIFM. I'm Danny Hall, and we're pleased to welcome to our program from the Surrey County Cooperative Extension Office, Carmen Long. Good morning, Carmen.
Good morning, Danny.
Hope you are doing well.
I am doing great. I hope you are.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And we've got a very, very timely topic. We're going to talk about summer safety and the things that sort of put us in jeopardy, I think. There's a lot of different topics to cover today. So what do you say we just dive in, Carmen? You
sounds
okay
like
with
a
that?
Great idea.
All right. Well, first of all, let's talk about something that is vitally important and very serious. The sun, and a lot of us love the sun. We know that. But you tell me now, what is the most common kind of cancer and which part of the body is most susceptible?
Actually, the most common type of cancer is skin cancer, which would make sense since our skin is exposed to the sun a lot of the time. And here lately, we've had lots of nice, warm, sunny days. So we need to remember, especially our face, lips, and the tips of our ears.
Mm-hmm.
Those are areas that sometimes we forget to put sunscreen on, but obviously it's getting a lot of sun.
A lot of us love to have a tan in the summer. We want to spend time out in the sun, but we really do have to be careful, don't we? Because it's, you just said, the most common type of cancer is skin cancer, and it directly related to the sun, right?
That is correct. And fair-skinned people, of course, are going to be more susceptible. And skin cancer is curable in most cases when it's detected early, but we would rather just prevent it. So if we can stay out of the sun, the part of the day when the sun is strongest, typically between 10 and 3,
Okay. That
would be the time that the sun would be most dangerous. So go out and enjoy the outdoors early in the morning or then later in the afternoon, and you're going to be a lot safer.
I have to tell you, even someone who likes to be in the sun and get some tan this season, the spring, and now what we were into the summer, it's been hard to be out during that 10 to 3 time.
We would definitely need to take some rest breaks and drink some fluids in between.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some other things, too, and one of those would be cooking in the kitchen and in the yard, which a lot of us like to do now that it's summertime and vacation time for a lot of people. What temperature should cold foods be at to be safe?
We need to keep our cold foods at 40 degrees or colder, and we don't actually need to let them sit out any longer than 2 hours. So we need to remember cold food cold, hot foods hot, and when it's hot outside, it's sometimes challenging to keep those cold foods at that 40-degree temperature. So make sure you use a cooler with ice or ice packs in there, and just don't leave it sitting out for extended periods of time so we can hopefully prevent some foodborne illnesses.
Are there any foods that we don't have to worry about at room temperature?
Things like breads, muffins, rolls, cookies, non-perishable items.
Mm-hmm.
Chips, we wouldn't need to be concerned about, but any type of prepared foods, anything that has Cool Whip, cheeses, creamed items, if it's a dessert, we would need to keep those in the refrigerator. And basically anything that we have cooked that is not a product like those breads, muffins, rolls, cookies.
Okay. Well, I promise you that the muffins and the cookies don't stay out very long in my house.
We wouldn't need to worry about those being out longer than 2 hours.
Not an issue. Our guest is Carmen Long. Carmen's with the Surrey County Cooperative Extension, and we're just talking about a variety of, good summertime tips and things that we need to think about and know about to keep us safe, because there are different things that we have to encounter here in the summer months, like being outdoors, cooking outdoors, eating outdoors, and there are other things as well. And one of these I want to touch on that's I'm always frightened of this, and it's a disease that is caused by ticks. Can you tell me a little bit about Lyme disease?
Lyme disease is actually a rash that you'll see, a bull's eye rash, and it's a disease that you get from ticks, and it's very serious. It's actually very scary, and here at Cooperative Extension, we've have heard that there have been more ticks on people this year, so make sure when you go outside and come back in that you check not only yourself, but your children and your pets, and if you see any ticks, make sure that you pull it off with tweezers. You don't want to pull it off with your fingers, and we don't want to just leave it on there, of course.
No.
If you do pull a tick off of an animal or a person, it's a good idea that we would wash our hands after that and disinfect the tweezers and the site. Mark on a calendar who had the tick on them, where mm-hmm. the tick was at, and how the person was feeling at that time, and then put the tick in a small, either a medicine bottle that has the medicine out of it or a Ziploc bag, and label that with the victim's name, address, and the date.
Okay.
That way, if there is any problem, you'll have something to reference back to. A lot of times people just pull the tick off throw it in the woods,
sure,
and that just allows it to crawl back on someone else. And it's a good idea just to keep that in case they would need to test it further for future problems.
That is, and it's also, I guess, a good way to determine if that may be the cause of something if you start feeling ill later. That is a great precaution there to just put a date, a time on it, and like you said, keep it. So that's some great information there. Tell me, what are some of the things that we can do to keep from being bitten by ticks or even mosquitoes, that sort of thing?
If we apply repellent to all of our exposed skin, sometimes that will help. Also, wearing long sleeves and long pants. As warm as it is today, that doesn't sound very pleasant, but no. Neither does getting a tick. So just avoid wooded areas if you have that option, and make sure that you check yourself thoroughly when you come back in.
Carmen Long is our guest. Carmen's with the Cooperative Extension Service in Surry County, and we're sharing some summertime safety tips. And among those is staying hydrated, and especially the heat we've experienced and continue to. I mean, there's a lot of summer left here, and it's going to be hot. Outside, working, how much water do we need to be drinking, Carmen?
We need to drink 2 to 4 cups per hour when we're outside. And just getting a sip out of the water fountain really isn't going to do it. If you can measure out a quart of water so that you'll know that you've actually consumed that much while you've been outside, that's probably the safest way.
Okay.
Often people are actually dehydrated before they even realize it.
Yeah. I hear about heat stress. What would be some of the symptoms that you'd need to look for to know if you're having a heat stress?
Typically, when we think of heat stress, we think of exhaustion, muscle weakness, headaches. We might feel nausea. We might have chills, feel dizzy or faint, very thirsty, might have a dry mouth, confused, including slurred speech, or even aggressive or irrational behavior.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that they're just grouchy. They really are experiencing a very serious problem.
I just thought I got a little testy when I got warm.
When you get too warm, huh?
What is on a serious note, there's heat stress, there's heat stroke. I'm assuming that the heat stroke is the more serious.
Definitely heat stroke. If you suspect heat stroke, you need to call for help immediately. Mm-hmm. Call 911. Move the victim to a cooler climate or environment. If you can get them to shade, that would definitely be better than leaving them in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You might put some cool cloth on their body. But actually, if they're experiencing heat stroke, you're not supposed to give them fluids.
Really?
Their body temperature is going to be above 103 degrees. They're going to have real hot red skin. It could actually be dry or moist skin.
Mm-hmm.
Their pulse is going to be rapid and fairly strong, but they're possibly going to be unconscious.
Oh, wow. So that is that's nothing to mess around with.
No,
so
very, very serious. Heat exhaustion is still very scary, but just not quite as serious. Mm-hmm. With heat exhaustion, you're going to experience heavy sweating. Probably you're going to feel weak,
mm-hmm.
Cold, pale, and clammy skin. Your pulse with heat exhaustion is going to be a weak pulse. It's going to be fast, but it's not going to be the strong pulse that the heat stroke person would experience.
So very faint pulse.
Still could feel nauseous and vomiting and possibly faint. Once again, move to a cooler location, lie down, loosen the clothing if possible, and apply some cool wet cloth to as much of the body as possible. And with the heat exhaustion, it would be fine to let them sip some water. And you still would want to seek some medical attention because that's still very, very scary.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it's a shock to the body, so it's vitally important. First of all, if you're outdoors exerting yourself, to make sure you get those fluids on a consistent basis.
And when we think about fluids, typically your urine is going to be the best indicator mm-hmm. as to whether or not you've consumed enough. You want to have very pale, clear, yellow urine.
Okay.
If it's darker in color, and actually by the time you're experiencing thirst, you've already become slightly dehydrated. Oh, so if you're thirsty, you should have been drinking beforehand.
Yeah, it's time to stop right then and sort
yes.
of...
Yes, take a few minutes of a break and make sure you consume some liquids.
Carmen Long is our guest on Extension today here on WIFM, and we've been sharing some summertime safety tips and some of the things that put us in jeopardy in the summertime. Among those, obviously, and you always hear about accidents around pools or ponds or whatever, let's talk about a little bit about water. If somebody wants to go dive in, what is the minimum depth if you're going to dive in head first to the water, Carmen?
Actually recommended to have at least 9 feet of water, and that's a problem if you're swimming in some sort of a natural body of water, because you really most of the time are fairly uncertain as to how deep it is. So
right.
We wouldn't recommend diving except in a pool where it actually is clearly marked in the deep end that it's at least 9 feet deep.
And it's important to note that a lot of pools aren't. I mean, a lot of them are, you know, 7 or 8 feet at the deep end. So you got to really even pay attention if it's a pool, right?
You really do. Make sure that you notice the markings on the edge of the pool if it is marked. And make sure you get in the water prior to and just see how deep it really is before you dive in any body of water.
One other thing I want to talk about before I let you go today, Carmen, and we've just experienced the 4th of July. 4th of July here, of course, lots of great celebrations, but include fireworks. And of course, a lot of people do it, you know, on through the summer and stuff. Talk a little bit about precautions when using fireworks, if you would.
We want fireworks to be fun. It's always an exciting time when families get together and experience the pleasures of shooting off fireworks, but we need to take some precautions. We need to have a bucket of water nearby in case there would be a fire. We need to make sure that we keep children away. Fireworks are not toys.
No.
Even though kids like to play with them, they are very dangerous. So make sure that we never relight a firework that didn't ignite the first time. Read any instructions that might be on the fireworks packages and really pay attention to what we're doing. It could cause that fun event to be not fun at all if there was an accident.
Results and when those accidents happen, usually it's a serious thing and you go into the hospital and maybe losing fingers or something. Nobody wants to do that.
That would be very sad.
Carmen Long, thank you very much for sharing this time
You're
with us
welcome.
Today. Man, you got just a wealth of information. I guess if people have any questions about summer safety or any number of things, they can contact you at the office, right?
We would be happy to have them contact the Extension office. Our number here in Dobson is 401-8025. And they can contact their Extension offices if they live in another county as well.
Terrific. Carmen Long, it is always a pleasure. Look forward to the next time. I hope you have a tolerable summer in that you can stay out of the most of the heat. That's what I'm going to try and do.
Well, we enjoyed wonderful snowy weather this year, so now we're just experiencing summertime in the summer. So,
yes, we are.
We hope that everybody will take the precautions that we've talked about and stay safe and have a great time.
Thank you very much, Carmen. Have a great day.
Thanks. You as well.
And folks, thanks for joining us for Extension Today right here on 100.9 WIFM.
Extension Today on WIFM presented by Surrey, Wilkes, and Yadkin County Farm Bureau. Join us again next time for Extension Today on WIFM.